What is going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Closing the Deal. I am one of your hosts, Zach Dixon, and sitting across from me today is my co-host, Sam Enright. What is going on this morning, Sam?
What's going on? How are you doing this morning?
Oh, fantastic. Cannot complain at all. Cannot complain. Super excited for our recording session today.
Absolutely, guys. We got another episode, another Saturday Talks episode for you guys coming out. Trying to get these, what do we say, once a month or something like
Yeah, give or take.
Somewhere around there. So
yeah, beginning of the month, first couple weeks of the month. So
yeah. So we got another another Saturday Talks episode for you guys. Got some updates from the previous, you know, going to talk about some things that were said, you know, address some things that are that our viewership is they've been calling for us to address some of these takes. So we got to get those out there. Obviously, we got some new stories, some new updates on life to get back out for you guys. Got something that just happened to me yesterday. Super excited to talk about it because it's one of a kind experience that I'm not sure will ever happen to me again. So excited.
Yeah, and it's been a pretty busy summer. I don't know. I mean, I assume I can speak for both of us on that front. It's just felt like I've been on the go, nonstop every single day, just doing something. So got a lot of good stories from this summer. Hopefully dive into a couple of them today here.
Yeah, it is. I agree. It's been a very, very busy summer. I mean, we're already in August. Time has gone by in a flash. So I think that's a recurring theme on this pod for us to just call out the extreme obvious of what date or what month we're in and then just talk about how absurd it is that we're in that month. So we're keeping things consistent here.
I feel like that's truly just something as you get older that it's just, I don't know, it's a real big sticking point. It's a real talking point because it just never felt like this as kids. You know, you were in school and days were fast and or they felt long at that point, but they were in reality they went quick. You were staring at the clock trying to get to the next period and whatnot, but it just, I don't know, this is a big talking point. I feel like as you get older, you just it all just passes you by real quick.
Yep, for sure. I think there's, you know, you have this phenomenon where, you know, when you're in high school or in that age, you want that time to go by quickly because you want to get to a certain, you think once you get to 18, you get this, or once you get to 21, you get that. And so like, these are these milestones in your life. Or once you get to 16, you get to drive. 18, you know, you become basically legal in the United States. You can do really anything other than drink legally. And then obviously 21 is kind of that last age. And now once you get there, it's like, then you want time to slow down. And it's like, okay, well, we've reached all these milestones that get us all these things. Now we want things to slow down. And it works in the opposite. So you spend like most of your young adult or young adolescence wishing and hoping that you get to this age quickly. And then once you get to that age, you want to slow down. It's like, it's just not how it works. So here we are, almost 30.
Literally. Parents used to always tell me that didn't want to wish away my childhood. And I'm like, fuck it, whatever. I don't care.
Yeah, that's another thing.
I want to be an adult. I want to make my own money. I want to control my time. But
yeah,
I mean, there's some trade-offs for sure. Give and takes, pros and cons to both of them.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and complain about adulthood. I think it's pretty awesome in most respects. You know what I mean? There's some really, really awesome benefits. You know, when you're 16, you get to drive, like you still got to clear it by mom and dad, like where you're going. Like, I don't, you know what I'm saying? Like, we could talk about it on just recently what has gone on, but you know, later in the pod. But you know, my fiance and I, we just booked an Airbnb in the middle of the week and literally, you know, went away for the weekend. You know what I'm saying? No checks, no clearances by anybody. Just one of those things that you can just do when you're older. You know what I mean? So there's definitely a lot of, I think, more positives. But the time thing is, I mean, let's just be real. The time didn't change. Like, it still goes by the same. It's just the way that our brains function it now versus when it was when we were younger.
For sure. And I think obviously though too, just being more busy and having more items to do as an adult, that contributes as well. I mean, you were busy as a kid. I feel like parents they do their best to keep you busy as a kid, to keep you running, to keep you moving, so you're not just sitting around and whatnot. But I don't think it really hits, like, you know, moving from one spot to another spot right after school or whatever it is. Just, it just doesn't hit as a kid as much as it does as an adult, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, school's definitely way different than a job too. Like, I think obviously we work very high-paced, fast-paced jobs that require a little bit more than what was being required in school of us. So I mean, I know they try to get it, I feel like, at least replicate it a little bit, get you an idea of what the workforce looks like. But yeah, much, much different once you get out here.
We may need to revamp that a little bit. That's probably a conversation for another pod here.
Whoa. That's controversial.
Oh, man. Well, why don't you get us started with your good story from yesterday? I've been dying to hear about this. You texted me immediately afterwards, ready to tell me. So I'm intrigued. Let's hear it.
So yeah, we had gone to the golf. Every Tuesday, my fiance and I, we go with her dad out to the golf course. Recently, her dad has been bringing a friend. Great guy, cool dude. Today, usually we have like riding partners, my fiance will always ride with her dad. I'll usually ride alone. And so this week the friend came. And so Jordan's dad and her, friend rode together. Jordan and I rode together. And so we were on the first hole. We had all hit our tee shots. And, we were kind of basically, we had drove up the fairway. Their cart was over here. Jordan and I were over here in our cart, probably about 40 yards away to the left, a little bit like further ahead. It wasn't like just right in line. So we were kind of like up here. They were back here. And I just wasn't paying attention whatsoever. And the friend had gone, swung the club. And all I remember was Jordan said, "Watch out." And I literally just sat there and literally golf ball directly in the back of my head hit me. It was like kind of a perfect storm because this course that we play is like all the holes run congruently like this. So like you got one, you got two, you got four. So it's like the people on two tee box, I guess, had literally hit it right into our fairway, and the ball, like as soon as he was going to hit, the friend dropped right in front of him. So he's distracted by the fact that he's going back to swing. Ball comes flying in at him. He swings and then literally just hits me stone cold back of the head. I just had never. Jordan's like, "Oh my gosh, are you okay?" They come over because I literally got up, I got out of the cart, and I was like, "Just crack me." I was like, I'd never been a part of that. You know, obviously we told it on our golf podcast, like how we've been a part of one of our buddies hitting dude in the ear. You know, I've always been, I guess, maybe a little bit risky. Like if you watch me, like I was telling Jordan, like I'm like, I will drive up in the fairway while my buddies are hitting, and like I'll be out here just standing, and I'll be like, yeah, I mean, I've never been hit by a golf ball in my life. I've been playing golf for like 15 years, and this thing just struck me cold hard back of the head. And I started asking Jordan, like, you know, I played contact sports until like high school, or like really before middle school. Like I played football and stuff like in elementary school. I'm like, what is a concussion? Like, what is the symptoms of concussion? Like, I don't know anything about this. Like, what am I supposed to feel? They're like, "Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I think. I have no freaking idea. Like, I feel fine. You know, I feel good. I mean, yeah, my head hurts, but like other than that." So I don't know. The night we ended up playing golf. I was like 3 under through 8 holes and ended up shooting. I made bogey on the last, ended up shooting like 2 under. So they're like, "Yeah, I think you're fine." So, and I went home and ate dinner, went to bed, and it was like any normal night. I woke up. I mean, the back of my head's like sore for sure. Got like a little bit of a knot back there, but other than that, like all good.
That was going to be one of my questions. Did you end up with a little battle scar? You got a knot on there, did you take it? Did you hit and then drop immediately, or did you stand and just diesel dog?
Well, like we were literally sitting in the cart. So like Jordan and I were sitting in the cart. She was watching like him hit. I was not. Like I just was like, I don't even remember what I was doing. Like I was just focused on whatever was out in front of me. And she's like, "Watch out." She like ducks. And I don't, like, we were like 40 yards away. So it was like close enough to where I didn't have enough reaction time, which I was like later, like when we got to the end of the hole, I'm like, kind of glad about, because like if she had said "watch out" and we had been a little bit further ahead and I had time to like turn my head, like that could have cracked me like right in the cheek, you know what I'm saying, like right in my eye, like anything. And so like I just like sat there and just, yeah, literally clacked me. I got up, stood up out of the cart, and I just like kind of like bent over with my head, and I was like, "Ooh." And then like they came up, they're like, "Are you all right?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think so." And we literally just drove off, and I went and hit my shot, and I don't know, like that was kind of the extent of it. So like it didn't like bring me to my knees or anything like that. But yeah. And then I got home was getting the shit out of my car and cracked my head again off my car door. Not as hard as that, but I'm like, dude, I gotta get inside. I gotta just, this day's gotta be done.
Start over tomorrow morning.
Yeah. So, I mean, out of all the things I've seen, like just being out at like Mastodon before, like just, it's a frenzy out there on the back nine. Cats are liable to get hit. Like I've seen some balls get really close. Like it was, but like, I've never been a part. I did drill a lady in high school, a mom that was out there watching her son. I felt bad about that one. So obviously the guy in our group that the friend, he was like, he was very, very distraught. Like did, yeah, very shook, like just apologized repeatedly. Like, was very, very like unhappy about the situation. I'm like, dude, it's not that big of a deal. Like it's all good. So it all ended up working out, but I did feel for him, 'cause he was like kind of like legitimately like checked out for like the next four holes. Like just like, like he didn't even want to be there anymore. And I just kept telling him like, dude, it's all right. Like, it's not a big deal. Like it's all good. Like I wasn't pressed. Like shit happens. We shouldn't have been sitting that far ahead. Like, you know what I mean? Like that's partially on us for being there. And, yeah, so I'm glad it didn't hit Jordan. I'm glad it hit me of all people. So I'm just, you know, glad I was able, got a big enough noggin to take it and move on, I guess. So
that is what the skull is for, they say. That's what the skull is for.
Yep, protect that old brain up there.
That's funny, though, because I have a story just like that. Because, like you said, we have never really seen that in our time golf. And obviously, we did the one time with our buddy Trevor. But literally one time over the last, you know, 10, 12 years or so that I've seen that. But I was actually playing in an industry outing last Monday. And we had two teams from our company. So we had the A team that I was a part of, and we had the B team. The B team, my broker was a part of that one, and he was actually playing with his brother. And some of these, you know, some of these outings are packed in like sardines. They're trying to get as many teams as they possibly can in there. So each hole will have two teams on a hole for a total of 36 teams in the whole outing. That will make for a very long day. You're sitting around waiting for shots and whatnot. But, I get to dinner after the outing, and my broker Jay is telling me about how his brother, they were sitting waiting for a tee shot, and his brother got cracked with a golf ball in the shin. It went through their cart, went clean through their cart, went through another cart, and then cracked my broker Jay's brother in the shin. It immediately started bleeding. It gave him a big old gash. Like, he had to go to the hospital afterwards and get it stitched up because he got smacked with a golf ball in a you know, an industry fun outing, whatever. I think the worst part, though, about the whole thing is that, unlike your story with the friend who is very shook up, very apologetic, these people came up per Jay. These people came up to them and said nothing. No, I'm sorry. No, I apologize. No, are you all right? They just walked right past him and moved on. They said nothing at all. And I'm just like,
and they realized like what had happened. Like they knew that they,
yeah,
wow.
They knew. Yeah. And said nothing, not a word. And this is the team that ended up winning too. So wow. They must have been pretty locked in on what they were doing, except for on that shot specifically.
Well, you know what they say, there's two types of people in this world, you know, so people that give a shit and people that don't, I guess, you know, they're part of the group the that ladder. Does not give a shit. Like, yeah. Thanks but for stopping my golf ball.
It was bleeding like nonstop. Like he obviously had to, go get it stitched up. Like it's just that it's crazy. That's what a little, you know, this size little ball will do to you. A little bit of damage.
Buddy, they're hard though. Like you put them in your hand, you don't really realize, like, you know what I'm saying? Like I have realized over time, like how hard a golf ball is, but until that thing cracked me in the head, I don't think I truly realized like really how hard it is. I am very lucky. Like, obviously I feel like if I was hitting that golf ball, like if it had been me at the speed that the ball comes off of my club face, like that's going to inflict a lot more pain. So I got very lucky that like, he kind of like, cold hard like shanked it, not very hard, you know what I'm saying, like not at a very high speed, you know, because obviously any faster one probably not. That's why I was like, Jordan, I was like, she's like, are you all right? I'm like, I don't know, is it bleeding back there, like is there a gash, like is there anything? She's like, no, there's nothing. I'm like, all right, we should be fine, I guess.
And that was where I was gonna take it, was the speed thing, the speed aspect of it. Like, some, I mean, some people can hit the ball pretty fast, obviously, yeah, depending on what club is being used and whatnot. So it can be pretty dangerous, I would say, especially if it catches you at the right spot, like how you were talking about turning. If you go up a little bit further, right in the temple, like, oof,
temple, that's dicey. Cheekbone, like,
yeah,
up here on my brow bone, like, I could have, there could have been a lot worse things happen, like, for sure. So
you live to tell the tale. You left the war zone of the golf course. You're here.
We're all and it was a war zone too, because, like, legitimately the very two holes later, par three, cats were hitting and almost flew directly into the back into our cart. Luckily I was not standing there. I'm like, Jordan, like, watch out. And this ball came hurling in. Then they drove on the next tee box, like, this group behind us, young kids, just blasting the ball, literally came down the hill and ended up right where the other two guys in our group were at. And so, and finally we said something to them, like, you guys have, like, hit into us like three times, like, you know what I'm saying? And so they backed off for the rest of the round, which was nice, because it's not a very long golf course out there. Like, I hit a lot of four irons off tees and stuff. Like, I have one hole you can hit driver on, and these dudes are blasting driver on every single hole, like, when we're still sitting there. I'm like, they must have never played there before. He's like, I've never hit a shot that good in my life. That was basically what they said.
That's always the excuse. So.
Always the excuse. So I'm just like, whatever. Lack of patience. What are you going to do? But yeah, that's my golf story. So I've skipped getting hit by a golf ball, never, to not just taking one in the body, anything like that, just getting cracked directly in the head.
Domed.
So first time for everything for I think everybody in that group.
Well, that was a good one. I appreciate you sharing that one. That kind of parlays me into our next topic, I think, here, and that's me, hands up, admitting my faults, my take, which was absolutely freezing cold about Scottie Scheffler. He immediately after the PGA Championship, if you guys watched our second episode of the Saturday Talks series, I was not impressed whatsoever. Just felt like it was another PGA Tour venue, PGA Tour win. I wanted him to win something else, you know, something that really, like, made him work for it and made him play a different type of game. I think, to clarify, just going backwards a little bit, I'm still hands up. Don't get it twisted. I'm still hands up. Just to clarify,
it was
though,
like a half. What you didn't like? It was like a half credit. You were like, yeah, it was a good win, but no, it still doesn't satisfy what I'm looking for out of it. Because, like, you didn't necessarily, like, say, like, yeah, he's dog water. Like, but you were like, PGA.
I want to see more. I want to see more.
Yeah, he still was on the hot seat, basically, after all of these lists of guys that could potentially be on the hot seat. It's still Scottie Scheffler on the hot seat after winning another major. That was your take, was like, this guy's got to go win again, while other guys who have not won in 4 or 5 years, they're still in the clear. This guy is the clear-cut guy on your hot seat list, was kind of, that was where you basically took the take.
And let me just go, let me cut to the very end here, the very last part. He's off the hot seat. We're done. He did what he had to do in this instance here. But just, again, clarifying, I just wanted to see him grind out a victory, all in all. And obviously he didn't have to grind out this Open Championship win, but I think it qualifies as really just playing a different type of game. As we talked about, me and you, after Bryson's first round, you literally texted me and you said, this guy will never win an Open Championship solely because of how he plays golf and how his game's set up to play golf. Obviously he did come back and play well Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So I have a theory
about that though. Like, I feel like Thursday was the only day that they really got, like, somewhat of conditions out at the course. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they had some wind, they had some rain off and on. Like, that was the only, like, true, like, Open Championship type of, the rest of the days were sunny, beautiful. I mean, there may have been a little bit of wind blowing, but you know what I mean? Like, that's what makes Open Championship conditions the conditions. Not to say he may win one. I may, you know, we may come back and I may hands up, you know, now that we put that take on the record. But I just felt like, looking at those rounds, that was the only rounds where, like, we actually truly got, like, some Open Championship conditions. And then he shot 78. Obviously, anybody who shoots 78 comes back and finishes top five, I think, is where he ended up, or top six, whatever it was. Like, hats off to him. But I still think I stand by the take that I don't know that Bryson will ever win one, like with his multiple calculations. Cause I mean, as soon as you get some wind and all these things going on, you know, I feel like that it's a very big feel test. It's who can, yes. You know what I'm saying? There is a lot of that involved. And when everything, like, I don't, if you ever watched any of Bryson's videos, like they are interesting on YouTube to watch. Cause he literally tells you about his calculations. That, yeah. It's like, oh, we got a 26-foot putt going uphill. Oh, we're going to play it 3 extra feet. Oh, it's breaking this much. Oh, we're going to play this much percent. And it's like the way that he does math on all of this, like it's cool. I just don't know that it translates to that sort of golf when you have wind, you have rain, you have weird bounces, you have quirkiness. You know what I'm saying? Like there's just things that are going to happen that do not make mathematical sense, I guess. You know what I mean?
Yes. 100% agree. And I guess that's where I'm going back to with my take is that I kind of wanted to see Scottie Scheffler win a tournament in those conditions or a grinded out type of tournament, you know, something to where it's feel based. It's not like it is a talent level thing, but I think over there in the Open Championship and some of the links golf, you know, talent is a little bit equated. Like you have to do a little bit more than what your talent level is. Some of these PGA Tour stops is literally just a talent contest. Like who has the most talent, who can hit it the furthest, who can hit it the straightest. And so to see him win a tournament in kind of those conditions, those aspects is what I was kind of calling for after the PGA Championship. And he absolutely did it. I mean, he had a 6-7 shot lead after Saturday. And it didn't even become close on Sunday really. So he just, you know, he was steady Eddie throughout the entire tournament. He just did what he had to do and he completely proved me wrong. And I'm super excited for Shinnecock next year. I think that we have a legitimate chance at the a back-to-back Grand Slam champion in back-to-back years, which is kind of crazy when you think about there's only been, as of right now, only 6 in the history of the game. I think 2 after World War II or after the Vietnam War or 3. So again, just not very common at all. And the fact that we could have that happen in back-to-back years is just kind of crazy. All in all, just kind of crazy. And I have to give my kudos to him because again, he proved me wrong completely. And he played well. He played well. Just a different type of game that's needed over there. And he showed up and showed out with it.
For sure. I mean, I don't think your take was very far off. I mean, I get what you were saying, but I think ultimately what I was trying to say on that pod was that when we look at the cat, he has some grinded out wins, but a lot of those came at the latter parts of his major record. You know what I mean? Like the one that comes to mind is, and the one you brought up was Torrey, but that was 2008. At that point, he already had what, 10, 11, 12 majors. So, you know, if we truly feel like Scottie's going to get to 7, 8, 9, I'm sure there's going to be a grinded out in there. But like thinking back into the original part of Tiger's career, when he was first winning his majors, he was blowing the doors off these cats. And so, you know, that's obviously what we're seeing with Scottie. You know, he four putted at the first, you know, first Masters and still won by like 4 or 5, you know, 4 shots. I think the only one that he didn't win by multiple shots, which one was it? He's won every one by like 3 or 4. I think
it was the 24 Masters. He only won by 2 though.
Okay. So yeah, but I mean, PGA earlier this year, I think he won by 3 or 4, obviously blew the doors off these cats at the Open, 1 by 4. And then, the original Masters like legitimately 4-putted and still 1 by 4 or 3 at that Masters. So, you know, we're seeing kind of that same trend. So, but it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, if he ends the year, you know, ends his career with 8 or 9 and ends up getting, you know, a couple of those gritty type of wins, you know, I think they're going to have to come at some point, but he's just far and away. And you literally messaged me about it, you know, talking about the no laying up guys, like he's far and away so much better than anybody else out there right now when it comes to literally everything. And it's like he's become a better putter. The stats from when he switched to the TaylorMade Spider are insane, like the number of wins he has and starts and everything. And so like he's actually turned himself into a formidable putter. I mean, I remember last year we were all saying like, yeah, I mean, if he putts halfway decent, like he's most likely going to win. If he putts great, like there's nobody who can keep up. And it's now like, okay, well, he no longer is like having those really shitty putting weeks. Now he's okay. Now he's putting great. And that's why, you know, he has all these wins. I mean, we just got to tip our cap. I mean, it's definitely impressive stuff. And so, I mean, being compared to any part of Tiger's career is insane. But like to think that like he's on the trajectory of like Tiger post Tiger Slam is is insane. I mean, nobody's ever going to replicate that tiger. You know what I mean? So
there's but a different conversation. The tiger there, after think, is it,
you know what I mean? What do you mean?
Yeah. During the Tiger Slam, there might be a different conversation that has to be had.
Oh yeah. That he was
the golf ball, brother.
Yeah.
The
golf ball. Levels ahead for sure. I mean, 100%, but yeah, you know, some would say that he was playing against plumbers and firemen as well. So, you
he
know,
was.
But
indeed.
I don't know. So, I mean, I'm not going to, you know, discount that the talent level's better today.
It's deeper for sure.
Deeper. Maybe yeah. Not better, but deeper. So, but yeah, I thought you were going to go. I honestly thought the segue was going to go into tooting your own horn a little bit. You know, a little disappointed that, you know, that we didn't go there. So I guess we'll have to, you know, I guess I'll have to toot your horn for you. But just an update for you guys. I think I can't remember where we left off on the last Saturday talks, but oddly enough or crazy enough, you know, kind of going back to our time, talking about time, but we are almost at the end of our Friends Tour season. Literally the very first episode we recorded of our Saturday talks, we had not even started our Friends Tour season. Our first event had gotten canceled, and we literally had not even played our first one. And here we are, Saturday talks number 3, and we have one event left. That's just crazy. But our one and only host, Zach Dixon, actually copped himself his first dub on the Friends Tour this year. Played a great – I had the pleasure of watching him play that day. Was a great round of golf, very consistent. You know, we did have to give him a little oomph at the end to go into the playoff. Got to commend the guy he beat, because 3 under through his last four was actually insane.
Gross
to even
too.
Be there. Yeah, like that was nuts to get there. And then so he ended up having a tie, and we ended up having to do a little bit of a playoff, but Zach ended up coming out on top. Got his maiden victory on the Friends Tour. So it's impressive stuff.
It was a fun little round for sure. First time ever playing Glenn Ross, so it was. I didn't really know what to expect, honestly, coming in there. You know, sometimes you play really well at the course the first time you play it. Sometimes you play really shitty the first time you play it. Never really know. But I started off real shitty. I was 5 over through 5, and then I played the next 13 holes, I think, and won over par. So yeah, finished with a shot 76. I was making putts left and right. Some putts that I had no business absolutely making at all, but they were falling. I don't know if I talked about this on the last Saturday talks or not, but unfortunately, or fortunately, I guess, but I did buy a Scotty Cameron putter earlier this year. It was in the bag for maybe a month, and it got put right back on the bench. And ever since it got put back on the bench, the golf game has gone upwards and onwards. So I think the Scotty is going to stay on the bench for the time being, unfortunately. But it's an unfortunate piece, because I really, really like the feel of it. I like the look of it, but I am just an absolutely shitty putter with it. So I have to put it away. I've actually given it to my wife to add to her golf bag here. So she's got a pretty good little start with the Scotty Cameron. But the Spider has been treating me well, and definitely treated me well on Saturday at Glen Ross. I was putting it really well, and all summer I've really been driving it well. But I just can't really put everything together, irons, wedges, and putter with the driving. So to do the other three aspects pretty well, in addition to driving it pretty well, was a good feeling. Get that first tour W, see if I can make some noise in the tour championship. I'm still about 200 points behind you, and about 250 points behind our leader in the FedEx Cup standings for the year-long race. So we'll see what happens in the tour championship and see if we can make a little bit of noise there. It should be fun.
Should be a good time. And I mean, I enjoyed Glen Ross. I was telling Casey, who we played with, I cannot name another par 70 course in Central Ohio. I don't know if it was just true. Like just blanking my mind, but I'm like, we just don't have a lot of those. So it was interesting to play only 2 par fives and then to hit the ball OB on both par fives. Like that was really sweet. So yeah, just I thought it was a great course though. I mean, everything west of like New Albany on the Kemper side is from what I've played is not terrible. You know, I can live with the Bent Tree. I could live with the Glen Ross, and I can live with the, I can more than live with the Golf Club of Dublin. That one's solid. But, everything east of that, starting with New Albany Links is going to have to just take my, well, I guess there's Royal American too. Which well, I've
that one's
been
east of New Albany too, though.
Yeah,
they're pretty much same line.
Yeah, never played there. So, but yeah, it was a good event, and we had beautiful weather. I didn't even take take my hoodie off at all, and it was I was in all black, and still like it was perfect. So, can't beat that type of weather for golf when you get those low to mid 70s with a little bit of breeze.
We may have to revisit the playoff format for next year. I don't know what we're gonna do, but we got to figure out something because I'm not fully bought in on putt-offs or putting contests for playoffs. But when we're playing, you know, Saturday morning tees. Yeah, that was okay. We did for this playoff, we didn't have anybody immediately behind us, so we went back about 40 yards and played an up and down game. Unfortunately, we both made the same score, so we had to go turn it into a putting contest after that because a group pulled up on the first tee. But usually we're playing on weekend mornings, so it's hard to, if we want to just play one more hole to kind of settle the playoff. Usually can't do that because obviously the tee times are pretty much booked at public courses for the weekends. So definitely going to be a thinking point here in the off season for next year, trying to figure out a different, some better way.
I mean,
We
could adopt the old US Open playoff style and just, you know, play another 18 round. Holes. Yeah, yeah. Play another 18 the next day or something. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, just something. I mean, it's going to be hard for some recreational golfers to book out a hole or two to go play a playoff when you're in the middle of a you know what I'm saying? Like, we got done and it was literally 12:30, 1 o'clock. Like, you're not getting out there. When we got up there, squeezing. There was literally multiple groups on the tee box and stuff waiting to go. So it's like, you take what you can get, but definitely something to think about. I mean, luckily we've only had it twice and it's only been the same two people in each of them. So. At least you guys split them 1-1. So,
yeah,
drain that putt on that first one. I thought you were going to drain it on the actual hole after the wedge shot. To be honest with you,
I sucked for that one. Yeah, I sucked for that.
I don't know about that, but yeah.
I was spooked.
It was a great shot you put in there. It definitely looked like when I think the first guy's wedge shot went to probably like 25 feet, and I think Zach put his to probably like 10, 12, something like that. And so, and then first guy drilled his probably. I thought he was going to be out again, to be honest with you. I was like, are we going to make him putt? Like, going to make him putt first for his par? Or not, you know, whatever it would be. Up and down for three and let ZD putt because it was basically the same length. And Buddy, I mean, credit to him, came back and drilled it after you had missed because that could have easily, even though you missed it, could have easily been him that missed the other one and sent you guys to it. So, but... But yeah,
it was a good event for sure. It was a good one.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed we didn't get out there to old Darby Creek, but what are you going to do? You know, can't make 7 a.m. tee times halfway across the state. Yeah, all right, that's a little bit of a little bit stretch, but it definitely is a far drive for our newer guys. That's for sure.
Yep. Well, the Friends Tour ending and August coming also brings a positive for us too. You know what's on the horizon for us here in the next couple of weeks? Actually, I take that back. You know what actually started last Thursday and is continuing this week and the next coming weeks?
I'm told that it might be football.
Some foosball, but I cannot wait. We are here. It's almost football season. That brings all of the exciting aspects of football season.
And that's American football for our overseas listeners.
I am a big European football fan too, but not as big of a fan as American football here. Ohio State football on the docket, Cincinnati Bengals football on the docket, fantasy football on the docket. Best time of the year here in Ohio, in my opinion.
Or worst time of the year if you're asking our fiancés. They would say that this is their least favorite time of the year. I've already heard Jordan say it. Oh my God, football season's back. Their off season is never long enough. Let's just say that when they have to hear about fantasy. Oh man, always funny.
And all of it too. Just Sundays, just watching it, or you know the fantasy football, setting the lineups and whatever it is. Like all the trade talk and all of it. Just the whole nine yards that goes into it is just, it's got me excited, but like you said, not, I'm sure they're not very excited at all.
Well, that's all right. You know, trade-offs, you know, there's things that excite them that don't excite me. So
that's true. That is true.
But yeah, so we should be good.
Yeah, we're doing some different stuff this year. A couple years ago, we implemented the in-person draft for our fantasy football league. So that's always a good little get together for our entire league. Get everybody together, have a fun little draft day. I think we're going to implement a champions dinner this year. So all the champions of our league, the past champions, going to be invited to a dinner hosted by the defending champion, who I believe is me. And see, we'll make that
really happen. Really downplaying the success in here, you know. Had to. Zach's a four-time winner. Yeah, I did not stutter. Four-time winner in the league. That's been around for 11 years. So you guys do the math on what that winning percentage is.
Yeah, yeah. This fourth one was the most sweet, I think, to take the lead over our buddy Casey, who has three. So yeah, just for shits and giggles, we've had 11 years and I've won four, Casey's won three, you've won one, and so that's 8 of the 13 and or 8 of the 11, I'm sorry, and three.
Yeah, that's
people,
actually insane. So. Yeah, bunch of just, yeah, one-time winners. After that, I got a couple of, what, we got a couple of guys that aren't even in the league any. Yeah, Quentin, well, was original, right. He won. We may be getting one back. We did have one leave and he came back too, so
yeah. We do have, in fact, one coming back for sure this year. So
100%?
100%.
Oh, wow. In. So we're adding to the champs dinner. Looky, yep, there. Yep. Wow. Yep. That's cool.
Exciting for sure. Super excited for that one. So
we got some guys that should be winning one here soon. There's a guy in our league that I feel like has put up the most consistent performance in the past like 4 years. Because he played against me in my chip. Played against you in your previous chip. I don't know where he ended up finishing last year, but
he came in second again last year.
Yeah.
He played against me second, in the championship.
Came in second like 3 years in a row and has not won one. Been in the league for like 4 years. I can't remember what he did that original first year, but if I'm going to guess, probably a deep run into the playoffs and just came up short. So you got to feel like, I mean, you got to feel good about that at least. I mean,
he's in the positive. There's a lot of other guys in our league that are not in the positive money. No, wise, so
they're in the red, far in the red. Maybe we'll never come out of the red. It's hard to say. There's some guys making some donations out here. So, and Zach been a four-time champ. And that's why I told Casey, I'm like, Zach's been a four-time champ when the money was good too. Like Casey's original ones were when we were having like $50 buy-ins, you know what I mean? Like, at least three of your four, I feel like, have been at the, or maybe two of the four.
Two of the four.
And then the other one had to have been when we were at, I think we were going up like 100 every year at that point. Mm-hmm. So like you had probably one at like 200 because you won back to back. So yeah, $200 buy-in, $300 buy-in, $300 buy-in. Those were three of the four for you. While other guys got three and, you know, $50 buy-ins. So that's
$300 total.
$300 total. Yeah. So, but yeah, then you got other guys who haven't even sniffed an opportunity. So I would say I'm still in the red. Ultimately, 11 years paid in. And even though I had the one year, I think I finished second another year. And I think I may have gotten my money back 1 year. I think those are my three best results. So, cause we give third place money back, but so I would say I'm still in the red though. Who knows?
I think to kind of help, we've gotten pretty high up there in our buy-in, as we've talked about already. I don't know if there's much more room to go up on the buy-in. So I thought we were going to keep going.
I thought we were going to get to like 1,000 or something at some point.
Yeah, that would be dope. I'd be down, but I'm not sure we can get all 10 guys down. That's for sure.
Wow.
But I think that we are going to kind of take a look at our payout structure this year and get a little bit more, get more people involved for payouts, you know, get some more rewards out there to get people involved. With the winnings last year, I did buy us a trophy for the league. So that's something else to play for. It's got all of our names on it. And obviously we'll be adding names as we go forward. So just trying to think about some different aspects past the increasing the buy-in to kind of make the league a little bit more interested and more fun for maybe just past the one person that wins every year.
Yeah, for sure. No, I mean, I think there's some good changes on the docket that could potentially bring some good things back into the fold, at least, you know, because last year we kind of had an anomaly season from one of the players, and you got to like feel for Buddy. I mean, he had the most points for in the league by a long shot. He went
best record.
Went like 13-1 and finished in like fourth place, fourth. So no money back, lost all of his money, and we don't do like any week to week payouts, anything like that. And so obviously trying to, you know, bring it into where we maybe do some week to week payouts for most points for, then, you know, gives the opportunity for somebody who's performing really well. And then I also like the, which I mean, I'm kind of back and forth because I see both sides, you know, but I did kind of like the, you know, fifth, you know, by best record and then putting the sixth in by points for. But then again, you know, sometimes I've been that guy that's gotten in on that sixth, you know, right in that range, you know, and not had the most points for. So I feel like I'm never a high points for kind of guy. But yeah, I mean, obviously just things to keep it more intriguing and kind of reward the people that I feel like, you know, team has maybe been more consistent or better throughout the year. So we'll see what gets approved and you know, where we go.
I really like the consolation bracket idea. Just, you know, there's been a couple of years where I didn't make the playoffs. And obviously at that point, you're checked out. You're done. You're like, I don't want to do this anymore. Focus on the betting on FanDuel after that. So I think that with the consolation bracket, even if you don't make the playoffs, you can, I don't know what we're going to play for yet, but if we, you know, if we do adopt that, having that, I think would be a big positive all in all. Just keep everybody engaged over the entire 17-week season.
More buy-in.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe
bump it up. I'm telling you, all you got to do is frame it that it's not part of the buy-in. Like,
true,
our buy-in is still this number, but hey, we're gonna do these extras, little things where you buy, you know, where you pay at the beginning. And I promise, it's like listing a house for $1 million or listing it for $999,000. You know what I mean? $999. It's all the same, but to the buyer, it's like you don't see that big, you don't see that seventh number in there. You only see the six. And so it's like somehow it's more palatable, you know, for you to be like, oh, I'll pay that 100%. I'll do that. It's not $1 million. You know what I mean? So it's like, okay, buy-in's still this, but hey, we're going to collect a little bit of extra side money from the beginning, you know, to pay out these things. And as long as people don't associate the two together, they're usually going to be fine.
For sure. For sure.
So, oh man, anything else been going on?
Not a whole lot. Got a couple weddings here in August. Excited for that. Back-to-back weekends of that. So that'll be fun.
And then wedding, man.
Yep. And then I got a bachelor trip here in middle of September. Excited for that one as well. So
got another three weddings next year, huh?
Another three weddings that I'm a groomsman in next year. Yep. It happened quick. That's for sure.
It's crazy, man. Crazy, crazy. Yeah. I haven't really thought about it. Crazy.
Anything else you want to add on that front, on the wedding front?
What about it?
Anything going on? Anything big happening?
Oh, on my side?
Yeah.
Next week we finally are going to taste some food. It's been a long journey on that side of things. They only do one open house a month, and we missed it in June. I was sick, and we tried to do it like kind of last minute, but they guess they take reservations, and so they did not have anything open for us. And they skipped July, of course, and so here we are, August. Gonna go taste some food next week, and probably at that point iron out the menu, and then will be that's kind of the last big thing. We met our florist last week to kind of get an idea of that sort of thing. So I mean, I feel like all the big items, I mean, we haven't like necessarily locked everything down, but contacted DJ, contacted floral, we already have the photographer, we already have the venue, all that stuff, date, all that stuff taken care of. So last big one's gonna kind of be the food, getting that. And then I think on my side of things, I'll be done. I mean, I got to figure out the whole groomsman suit situation and just that. But I think that's going to be relatively straightforward and easy to get done. And then Yeah, I think the rest will be on the ladies' side. You know, they got all that makeup, they got the hair, they got, you know, all the stuff they got. I just got to get in the shower and get out. You know what I mean? So
play some golf in the morning and get ready.
Get a cut, go to the barber, you know, the day before. You know, that's basically all I got on my list to do. So it's crazy that I was telling Jordan the other day, I said, it's already been 6 months since we booked the venue. Like, I just remember it being very first weekend in February, going and checking out the venue and literally booked it that day and put the deposit down. And now here we are, like, in February, I'm like, oh yeah, we got time. Yeah, no worry. You know what I'm saying? And now here we are 10 months out, and here in a couple months, we'll be freaking 6 months out. You know what I mean? We'll be at the end of the year and be like, holy crap, we're getting married in 6 months. So, just crazy, but it's all coming together. So gotta wrap up a few things, and then at that point just start forking out money, you know?
Yeah, I do know all about that, brother. I know all about that. But it does feel good to get, like, kind of, you know, the big outline type things done, like, well ahead of time, you know, 6 to 8 months ahead of time. So you just kind of feel, you know, if there is anything that you missed, you have plenty of time to take care of it.
Yeah.
And so that's a good feeling, in my opinion.
And I just feel like it'll be nice. Like, it'll be nice to, at this point, now that it's done, like, now all that's left really is just the money. Like, that's a lot easier to focus on. It's like, okay, like, I need to pay this amount by this. And then it's like, okay, that's, you know what I'm saying? Instead of, like, thinking about 17,000 things, like, what do we want for this? What do we want for this? How do we want to do this? You know what I'm saying? Like, we no longer have to think about, how do we want our menu for food? How do we want our flowers? How do we want this? It's like, we've already done it. Now all we have to do is legitimately just pay for it. And that, yeah. I don't have to think about that. I just literally, okay, you know, here's the budget. How do we make this happen? And boom, just go do it. You know what I mean? So that'll be one nice thing. It'll kind of take now that we have the plan together, kind of take all that stuff out of it. So
have you guys determined a honeymoon destination yet?
We've not. That is one thing that we have not done. No honeymoon destination. She wants to go to St. Lucia, but I have not looked at, we have not looked at booking or anything. I think I need to get with my travel agent for that.
That guy's him, I heard.
I heard that he is as well. So, but yeah, I mean, we have not decided yet. So I'm just trying to.
I've heard good things about St. Lucia. So
for real, I have as well. I've heard, like, very mountainous with also, like, some sick views and stuff. So I try to talk her into the UK, try to talk her into Oregon, try to talk her into golf trips for the honeymoon, but she wasn't hearing it. So
you're sick.
Shooters gotta shoot, but you know what I'm saying? I mean, if you guys don't know, my fiance does play golf, so it's not like it was just like, hey, this is only gonna be me. You know, she just obviously does not care about it to the level that I do. She does love to play, so it was like at least like somewhat reasonable to suggest, but ultimately not like completely reasonable. It's more reasonable than if your wife doesn't play at all and you're just like, hey, we should go do this and you could just hang out here for the day and I'm going to go in the car. You know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, we're, you know, it's going to be the, you know, we're going to be on the beach, the resort type honeymoon, which obviously I'm not mad about, but you know, like I said, shooters got to shoot. You got to throw your shot out there every once in a while. See if maybe, you know, you can get one through the net, you know, goes in the hoop, you're good. So I think I did get her on the 1 year anniversary trip, on the golf trip though. So
nice.
So that's how you compromise, you know, throw it out there for the honeymoon. Doesn't work for the honeymoon, but hey, that would be a sweet 1 year anniversary trip. And I'm like, perfect. Sounds great.
I love it.
Yes, sir. Well, I think that wraps us. We've been on for a minute here, so
I don't think I got anything else on the docket going on. I'm sure we will here in the beginning of September, though. We'll have some updates on some fantasy football drafts, some friends tour finalization, and yeah, some more updates on wedding stuff and our lives as a whole. So,
yep, absolutely. We will we'll be back early September. So. Appreciate you guys tuning in. Always fun to do these ones and, you know, talk about something else other than real estate for a little bit. Just show you a little insight into our lives. And so appreciate you guys listening. We'll catch you guys on the next episode.
Absolutely, guys. You guys have a great rest of your day.